This one will play Miami in South Florida. Levine and one. Levine off the curl, guarded by the shorter Van Vliet. Raises up and knocks down the mid-range jump shot. They send Levine baseline. He gets around to DeMar. On the cut and the punch. Say it with your chest. Here's Levine. Wow, he pulls for a three. Got it. Zach Levine coming alive in the second half. Levine going to work. Tough pull-up. Whoa, man. He's hotter than fish grease. Zach Levine having himself a second half. Van Vliet fires the three. Off the mark. And this one is over. Chicago is headed to South Beach.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. The Bulls win. The Bulls beat the Raptors in the play-in game yesterday. Zach LaVine had 39 points, and the Bulls get the job done. But the star of the game, Cap, you could say it's Zach LaVine, you could say it's the defense, you could say it's Billy Donovan. Actually, the star of the game is DeMar DeRozan's daughter, DR DeRozan.
Amazing.
And why is that? Is because the Raptors, 18 missed free throws last night, are the second most in any game in franchise history because she was there rooting on the Bulls, and any time that the Raptors went to the foul line, you heard
particular game. If he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State. Asked him what did you Patrick said I was down for whatever Coach Hamill. Underrated passer, doing a nice job.
In terms of the total number or the quality of shots, I'm comfortable.
Tell me, life is really good for him right now. He's in a good headspace coming in.
Guy who the handle is maybe not as
tight. A 20-point advantage.
This guy thinks he can do more offense.
It's crazy adorable with her screaming, believing, like, if I scream, I'm going to make the Raptors miss free throws. She's totally down with the Bulls and her dad, DeMar, to help the Bulls win.
And it has gone viral, even in the articles in the Toronto newspapers, about DeMar DeRozan, who they love up there. And that was his first club. He said, they'll always love me up here. The articles talk about his 9-year-old daughter screaming on every free throw, and the Raptors, for the first time since 1969, an NBA team in a winner-go-home game, shoot 50% from the line, 18 of 36.
So
that's incredible.
Let me ask you this. Did the Bulls win that game, or did the Raptors lose it, especially at the end?
Well, the way that Zach played, they won it. Mm-hmm. The Raptors certainly helped. Shooting 50% at the line's a joke. But Zach LaVine, that was the best I've seen him play. He's had better shooting nights where he's, you know, got 7-8 threes. That's happened. The fact that he was attacking the way he did, and then they played unbelievably connected defensively. Man-to-man defense is not, I've got him and you got him, and sorry, my guy didn't. No, it's playing as one unit, connected on a string. Mm-hmm. Hoodie got beat. I got to slide over and help, and then Shea's got to come pick up my guy. That's what connected team defense is.
There's a lot of things that resonated with me with this game yesterday, but I will say that the defense was the sexiest thing I saw from the Bulls yesterday, in that you saw Patrick Williams. People will open up the box score this morning and go, there's Patrick Williams coming off the bench, 10 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. That's too bad. No, if you watch the game, you saw how locked in he was defensively. Now, the one thing that Cap and I have said a lot this season, and that's just based on the roster composition, is Cap and I have said, boy, this team is short. Boy, this team is small. They are not long and athletic. You know, you bring in Andre Drummond off the bottom shelf, and he is a shot blocker, yes. Vucevic is more of a perimeter shooter, not the greatest defender. But you need to have someone long and athletic that can be take on some of these point forwards that could be able to put the ball on the floor and take it to the basket. Patrick Williams did a great job on Siakam yesterday. You can't ask Caruso or Beverly to do that, but you can get Patrick Williams and his size to do it, and he did a yeoman's job yesterday.
Well, they made that adjustment at halftime. Bulls are 9 down at the half. They were 19 down in the first half. And they are 9. No, they were 12 down after he hit the half-court three. Mm-hmm. They're 9 down at the end of three, and wow, here we go. defensively. They're making stops. They're getting turnovers. Their rebounding was really good. Vooch had, what, 13 rebounds?
Mm-hmm.
They really laid it all on the line. Had they lost that game at the end, it would have been very deflating for them. Their season would have been over. But they would have known they gave it everything they had. And now they're headed to Miami.
And for perspective, we have to understand who the Bulls are. They're coming in 40-42 in that game yesterday. I thought the Bulls would win because I know what's going on internally with the Toronto Raptors. It's not good. People assume that because Masai Ujiri is the general manager, oh, everything's fine. Everything's right. It's actually not. Things are not well in Toronto. And I just think that there is a little bit of a 1-2-3 Cancun in the second half from this Toronto Raptors team, especially defensively. It was amazing how explosive that LaVine was, that DeRozan was going with a quick first step and a drive right to the basket, Cap. They just kept going to the basket, either dunking or laying it up against that Toronto defense. I mean, I give the Bulls credit. They found the seam to be able to get from the foul line down right to the basket against this Toronto defense. What happened? They were not desirous to go over and help each other defensively, and they lost the game.
Well, I was very surprised because they're a well-coached team. That guy can coach.
Oh, Nick Nurse. Yeah.
There's issues organizationally. That roster's got to get fixed. I was shocked there was no backside help, no rotation. Like the Bulls, we saw that. There was none of this. None of it. Zach would beat whoever off the dribble.
Oh, fast.
Fast. Mm-hmm. Get into the lane. And he pulled up a couple times. He checked threes. He hit one. Now you got to come out and you got to respect the shot. Boom, he's by you. And he's either going to pass or take it right to the rim. No rotation for the Raptors? None? Nobody is going to come to the basket, try and take a charge, get a hand on him, foul him, something. And he's finishing. I mean, some of those were tough shots. Tough. And then DeRozan down the lane with two, I'm talking, thunderous dunks.
Mm-hmm.
Bam! They attacked the rim. Caruso tried a tip dunk. It didn't go in, but there was a foul before it. On Zach went to the line. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick Williams had one that he missed. He went up and tried to jam it back in. Like, they were ferocious going to the rim in the second half.
I really like that. And again, the defense is the thing that stood out to me the most. It's not like we've never seen Zach LaVine score before, but there was a ruthless aggression for Zach. And it's like, okay, Zach is going to go to the foul line and get 13 for 15. He'll go 2 for 7 from three. But again, him attacking the rim really stood out to me the most for him in his game. Some thoughts from Billy Donovan about Zach LaVine last night as the Bulls win the play-in 109 to 105.
You know, the first thing is a lot of people don't get a chance to see these guys as intimately as I do. He is a great human being. He's a great person. He's a great guy. He's a team guy. He's incredibly unselfish. I do think that, you know, his heart is always in the right place in terms of wanting to do what's best for the team. And I think he, to the best of his ability, tries to read the game and make decisions that are best for the team. You know, and I always admire that, you know, about players. And, you know, people can have opinions about anybody. It really, you know, I'm with him every single day, and I see where his heart's at.
So the thoughts there from Billy Donovan and Zach LaVine. And Cap, we got to talk about that last play, too. Why was Siakam on the foul line? What happened there toward the end? Because that could have been a tie ball game.
So I reached out to somebody who's one of the officials that I know. I got a bunch of friends who still officiate in the league. And he said, again, you have to look up. Shay, can you tell me, did Billy still have his challenge at that point? It's late in the ball game.
I'll have to check, but I think so.
Okay, he cannot challenge that it is a continuation play, which is what the ruling was. That gives Siakam 3 free throws. They ruled he's in the act of shooting beyond the 3-point line.
Right.
That is not challengeable by rule. But what he could have challenged was the foul call.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was clearly a foul. He's going to lose the challenge and lose his timeout. By doing that, though, when the officials go to the review monitor, they could say, the review is unsuccessful. However, it was before the shot attempt, 2 free throws, not 3. You're up 3. By doing that, you're keeping them from being able to tie the game.
Yep.
But you're also losing, I believe, their last timeout. It's gone. So if you need it in a late game situation, you don't have it. But you would have kept him from going to the line. And you have to assume he's going to make those free throws. So you want the opportunity to advance it with a timeout to half court, set up a play, and see if you can win the game. Because at worst, it's tied. At worst.
Yep.
And then he bricklayered the first free throw. So that's maybe why I would love to ask Billy, did you have your challenge? Shea's looking that up. And if you did.
He did?
Okay. Did you not use your challenge because continuation's not reviewable? Or did you not use your challenge because you wanted that timeout if you needed it for a last-second shot?
That's a very good question. I think that the answer probably would be is, hey, you know what? We had our secret weapon. We had DeMar DeRozan's daughter.
Particular DR. If he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State. Asking, what did you? Patrick said, I was down for whatever Coach Hamilton. Underrated pass.
They were jagging free throws all night. Why not miss a few toward the end in a clutch moment?
18 of 36
of her screams. That helped. But I was impressed. And again, let's talk about this in perspective. Cap, your perspective, my perspective is the same. When you're 40-42, you have not been a good basketball team.
Correct.
You've never won more than three games in a row this season.
Correct.
So what happens against Miami, I don't know. I'm not knocked out by Miami either. I don't think they're very good. I saw them against Atlanta Monday.
Yeah, and they lost.
It's flat, lousy. Correct. Right? They don't really have a home field advantage, a home court advantage. The reason why is because half the stadium's in the club upstairs.
Correct.
They're not in their seats. Like, where's the fans? They're up there partying up there. So, it to me, Jimmy Butler is solid. That team dynamic isn't good for Miami. It just isn't. And is it a winnable ball game? Yes. But we know how the movie ends. Where you and I are sitting, and all Bulls fans sitting in the theater, and we go, I know how this ends. They're going to be eliminated at some point, either Friday or in the first round of the playoffs. But we know because they just don't have enough talent like the other upper echelon teams in the East, especially the Bucks.
But it is amazing to me the number of people that went on social media and in the third quarter, game over. They weren't down 30. They were down 9 at the end of three quarters. And we have people, they know who they are, calling for wholesale changes and firings, and this is horrible. Oh, they came back and won.
You still can. You have that same energy.
If you told me they were down 85-50, okay, I get it.
But, Cap, but the narrative does not change from yesterday's show. Doesn't change. Yeah, there still needs to be wholesale changes up there.
I'm not talking about what we do in the offseason. I'm talking about in-game you're locked in.
Yeah.
All of us are watching that game. It's over. No, hold on. Let's just see what happens in the game. That doesn't change what they need to do in the offseason.
I knew. I just wanted the Bulls care. I think I said the line to you yesterday, are the Bulls interested? You ready to go home or do you want to compete?
There was a compete level. There was a grit about that team last night.
By the way, Zion Williamson, if you're going to practice that hard before the game, get your ass out there and put a uniform on.
That guy, man. There's another example. Got a tank to get Zion. How'd that work out?
All I'm telling you is this. In hindsight, right? And I'm saying this in hindsight. Big guy like that, okay, you draft him first to New Orleans, one of the best eating cities in the country.
He hasn't played since January 2nd with a strained hamstring.
Tell me if that's unfair, Jay Moore. I mean, big guy like that loves his stuff fried and sizzled. New Orleans?
Correct.
What do you think is going to happen?
Not going to end
always
well.
Eating. I mean, the same thing could happen in Memphis, too, because they were second. I mean, he could have had Memphis barbecue instead of John Morant. But I'm just telling you, like,
wrong place. He should have went to San Francisco.
Yeah. Could have been a warrior.
Put him in L.A.
And just eat light food, right?
Not that much in San Francisco.
Yeah, I was surprised the number of people that were just furious during the game. It's not like they're the 10th team in the play-in. The people were mad. Shea was beside himself angry.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Sox fans, we're talking to you, the Bulls fan. What did you think of the game last night? Also, Sox fans, the Sox lost 2 out of 3. Are you pissed or are you patient? We'll break that down coming up next. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. We'll cross-talk with Adam Abdallah coming your way at 10 o'clock. He'll be solo from 10 to noon in for Greeny right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. So glad to have you in today on this Deal Breakers Thursday. So, Cap, both of our teams are off, the Cubs and the White Sox. The Cubs won the series against Seattle. They dropped it yesterday at Wrigley. And then, of course, there's the White Sox, as heard right here on the Home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Sox lose 2 out of 3 against the Twins. What else is new? They lose 3-1. Okay. By the way, just a couple of things. If I wanted to try out for the White Sox, I'd put a uniform on and put a cap on and be in right field, and I'll do exactly what Gavin Sheets did yesterday in right field. Fly ball to right field. He falls on his ass.
Yeah, he and they gave him a triple on it. I'm like,
huh.
Boy, that's a gift triple.
Oh, man. I can understand if it was home. But, where you get the gift. I mean, Cap.
But do you like him as a player, or would you rather they got rid of him?
No, I like him as a player, but again, this roster's got 3 or 4 DHs on him, and that's one of them.
Yeah, he's a DH.
And that's 3 or 4 DHs on this team. It's just like, but I understand what's going on with this White Sox team because, oh, the same narrative, injuries. So you're just trying to piecemeal the team together, putting a third baseman, who I don't even know if Alberto is a true third baseman or not. I just know that he's kind of shaky over at third base. I see a right fielder falling on his ass in right field. We just had Grafal on yesterday. We talked about defense. Well, the guys are working hard. The guys are working hard. Okay, well, we're seeing the same movie that we saw the last 2 or 3, 4 years with this team. I cannot take it when I'm seeing my team in a position to make a defensive play and cannot. That sucks, man. Extends innings and it hurts the starting pitching.
But prior to Pedro Grafal, and thank you for coming on yesterday, Pedro, prior to him arriving, it was, Tony, what is he doing? What is he teaching these guys?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the players.
Yep.
If this team does not make a run to a playoff berth, you got to think about wholesale changes because something's not right.
The deadline will tell you all you need to know about what they should do. And I don't know what kind of sales job that Han and Kenny have to do with Jerry in that regard. But I wanted some of these guys off of this team last year. I told you in the offseason. Change the dynamic of the team. Change it. Not just tearing it all the way down, but you got to make some changes here if it's not working out. And again, it is April. It's 13 games in. Anything could turn because it's a long baseball season.
But it looks like a continuation of what we watched.
You mean like back then?
Back then.
Okay. I mean... All right.
Like he was a familiar punching bag. Tony. He's not here anymore.
Right. Or Rick Renteria.
Correct.
Some Sox fans on Twitter looking for Renteria to come back. That's not it. All I'm saying, though, Cap, it's a long season. I just don't want to see the same things I've been seeing with this White Sox team. I'm pissed that through 13 games they're 5-8, but doesn't necessarily mean that that's who they're going to be. But the thing is that how do you survive without Tim Anderson being in the lineup? Some think that's just a guy. No, that's the guy.
You know, if you go back through, Ryan McGuffey, my friend, pulled up all the numbers for Sox content over at NBC Sports Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And this, well, if we don't have Robert, we're screwed. Actually, the record's pretty good when he doesn't play. The one guy is T.A.
Mm-hmm.
When T.A. is out, that team struggles.
Yes. And I know that some, especially the seam heads, will tell you, it doesn't matter who's at the top of the lineup. It doesn't matter who leads off. Okay, you can have that opinion. But it does matter that you have someone, whether he turns the lineup over or starts the game, that can get on base. That matters to me. I know that we go back to the Soriano and the Schwarber conversation about who should lead off, right? How many hours on the air have you argued about the top of the lineup? Soriano, what's he doing up there?
Right.
Schwarber, what's he doing? Okay, and then, it doesn't matter. It matters. The whole lineup matters.
It totally matters.
So I just, I'm disappointed at what I've been seeing so far. But here's the question, Cap. How do they survive? How do they keep this going? Orioles are next. Orioles, good baseball team.
Really good baseball team.
So
really
now,
good.
How does this work, though, when you got these many? So Moncada out, right?
Well, Anderson. They're hoping that he plays this weekend. Moncada.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson, probably a month.
Yes.
You have Joe Kelly out, injured list, groin injury, which he had last year. Who am I missing? Alois, they're hoping to get back this weekend.
That's fine. You just want to see the team get up to a good start. Here's how I feel. You wait all fall, all winter for baseball. You mm-hmm. and I both love baseball. Of course, it's through our veins.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through this. It wasn't a harsh winter, but it's just a winter without baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Go through baseball, get spring training, you read all the stuff as we always do. Hey, what's going on with the ball club? Watch a few spring training games, see what's going on. And then the season starts. Here we go, Cap. 0-0. Hope springs eternal. And then, again, with the injuries. We're not even through May 1st yet, and we're going through this.
But maybe, I'm trying to be positive for you, maybe you get these behind you and you're clear.
That's the hope. Maybe it starts tonight or tomorrow, because against the Orioles, it'll be White Sox ace Mike Clevinger on the mound for the White Sox.
He's throwing the ball well.
2-0. Like, again, it's baseball. You never know what to expect, but look what you got there, right?
He's throwing the ball well. Yeah. Give him that.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Shay, I don't know if you saw this or not. We did not get to this yesterday because we were busy. Got a lot of stuff going on. But I saw... a couple things. What is going on with the Philadelphia Phillies fans throwing hot dogs? Did you see this go viral?
Yeah, I did.
Dollar Hot Dog Day? Is that why they were throwing hot dogs all over the field?
Yeah, were they losing? I saw the headline, but it was like it was Dollar Hot Dog Day at the ballpark, and then fans got them and were throwing them at people. Which is the most Philadelphia thing ever.
So are we done with Santa Claus throwing snowballs at Santa Claus? Can we say fans throwing hot dogs at one another? Is that the new thing?
I don't get it.
Was any condiments on them?
I don't know if they were protected or not. I don't know. You got a dirty mind.
Condiments, man.
Oh, you mean like relish?
Come on, man.
I beg your pardon.
Philly's Dollar Dog Night turns into food fight. Some fans started tossing garbage at each other during the team's Tuesday night game.
And how do you stop that, Cap? How do you quell that?
I don't know how you stop that thing. Do you remember the nickel beer night in Cleveland?
Yes.
When we were kids?
Mm-hmm.
Nickel beer night. At, what would they call that stadium?
Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
Municipal Stadium. Mm-hmm. It held like 70,000, 72,000.
Mausoleum.
It was horrible.
Horrible for baseball.
And nickel beer night, and they wanted to know why they had to cancel the second game of a doubleheader because people were so wasted.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be like a riot there.
Okay, so something else about Philly regarding the same thing. Okay, the story on ESPN.com. Several baseball teams have amended their alcohol sales policies in response to shorter game times. Philly's pitcher Matt Strom mm-hmm. said recently on a podcast that he disagreed with extending alcohol sales beyond the traditional seventh inning cutoff. Common sense and safety of fans.
So, agreed.
So, yes, the games have been shorter, but again, if you're a drinker, be a smart drinker. Like, I'm maybe two or three beers in. Not in this iteration of baseball, I haven't been to a game yet. But this year, I'm going to be, when we go, I'm going to be three beers in before first pitch. Yeah, it's the taps are open, aren't they? So why not?
But they've also
me too.
Limited the amount of time they'll open the gates now. They're not opening them
well
90 minutes. I think it's less.
You and I know a back door.
It was 2 hours. Maybe now it's 90 minutes.
You and I know a back doorway to get in these ballparks.
It's called a credential.
So there's a way to get in there before everybody else gets in there.
Hey, I saw Cap and Hood here. Are they working? Nope.
I can just picture Hoodie drunkenly asleep with his credential around his neck.
That'd be hilarious.
That'd be a nice picture.
Wait, attending the game as media, and he's passed out on the concourse with his credential on him. There's like a cup snake laying on his corpse, and he's got his credential hanging around his neck.
He's so funny.
Two balls, two strikes.
So good.
Drunk. But that's how, but you got to get it in, though.
Agreed.
These games, and so what, Cap, have you talked to anyone? well, in the beer sales?
I haven't. I'm actually going to make a call today. But I do know that there are cities, and I think Chicago's one of them, the Bulls cut off beer sales after the third quarter. Done. I looked it up on their website. I read it to you guys at the break.
You know people in the industry. I'd like for you to find out what it's so early, but I like to know how they feel about these quick games and whether or not they are losing money because they can't get as much beer sold.
Well, it's not just the beer. It's the food. It's the merchandise. Like, you just don't have as much time.
Maybe that's a call for May 1st. It's so early. Some teams have only had a couple of homestands. Or a couple of, maybe a couple of series. Maybe May 1st is the right time. I'd like to know how that's working, especially here. You want to be fully croisened. If you're going to drink, you want to be fully croisened at the game. Right? Like old style.
Yes. And thank goodness I'm not a beer guy.
No. But you know, but I mean, people on a warm day want to be able to have a nice, you know, daddy soda.
Correct. Or a few.
Yeah. So I like to know how that works, because if these games are 225, it's like, wait a minute, I don't even have a full lather yet. Where do we go now?
That's my homework assignment for the day, and I will take care of it.
Just wondering. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Ugh. Albert in Oak Park. Hello, Albert.
Yeah, good. How are you,
sir? Good, sir.
What's up, Albert?
Yeah, I was talking with you guys for a long time, Cap.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank God I'm still alive.
Yes, sir.
No, God bless.
Yes, amen. Anyway, I just wanted to say that regarding the Bulls, they are doing the right thing, because no matter how anxious we are, you don't build a championship team by just keep tearing down your team. You see, the point is that you have to build your team to the point whereby you can bring one person in that will make a difference. But for you to think that you have to keep tearing down to go to draft is nonsense.
We are in agreement with you, Albert, that it's not an automatic. Would I rather have a better chance if they get knocked out tomorrow night at our draft pick staying with us than getting conveyed to Orlando? I would. But it's not the panacea for everything that ails the franchise. Just tank and get the pick.
No, I think it's Cap. But like, I'm not saying you should do it all the time. But I think if you don't have the pick, I would rather have the premium asset or have a chance at a premium asset, whether it is an automatic or not. Nobody's saying it is, but I'd rather have a chance at a premium asset and getting that value than the reward of you get killed.
What's a moment that made you lose your faith in humanity? What you think about that question? Because we'll give you an answer. A great example of maybe you've just lost your faith in all mankind. We'll talk about it coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. Zach LaVine dropped 39 yesterday, 30 of them in the second half, and helped erase a 19-point deficit in Toronto, making the Bulls the first 10 seed ever to win in a play-in tournament game. They'll take on Miami and South Florida on Friday. Also, Oklahoma City, with their victory against New Orleans, they also won their play-in tournament game yesterday as well. White Sox and Cubs are both off today. Yesterday, the Cubs lost to the Seattle 5-2. Sox lost to Minnesota 3-1. And the Tampa Rays will chase history this afternoon against Boston. The Rays won last night 9-7 to extend their start to 12-0 on the season, putting them one win short of the best major league start to a season since 1900. I know a guy from Oakland is probably smiling up in heaven right now. Dave Wills, his former Tampa Bay Rays broadcaster that passed away right before the season, got to be happy about his Tampa Rays. As you're listening to Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Well, crosstalk with Adam Abdallah coming your way at 10 o'clock here on ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you could find. Wait a minute, today's Thursday, right, Cap?
Good Karma Wrestling!
Good Karma Wrestling, indeed.
6 o'clock.
Did I tell you who our guest is?
The Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
Woo! She'll Love be it. Coming round the mountain when she comes.
You've got a full sweater.
You've got a full sweater, and you're 21 or over. I'll see you at the Marriott. Woo! Ric Flair on the show.
Nature.
tonight at 6. You can watch the show on Twitter at ESPN1000 on Twitter. And, of course, catch the podcast. It's available on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click Good Karma Wrestling. Glad to have you in today on this Thursday morning. So there's a number of things that happen. I was just saying the other day to you, Cap, I'm like, what is going on with our society? What the world's going on? Every day there's something bizarre, strange, terrible, tragic. There's a lot of things that happen in our world that we see every day. It goes through our timeline on social. We see it on the news or in sports. But there's also some comical things that happen. And it happened to Shay Norling yesterday. Shay says, okay, you know what, guys? I got to get to do some shopping here. The old fridge is in the cupboards are getting bare. Let's see if we can stock the shelves. Over under $400 I spend. Because once you're into Costco, you got to buy everything, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing for me of going to Costco, or you call it Costco. I always call it Costco. When I go in there, okay, I love their, like they have the cooler, the walk-in cooler where all the produce is.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I know, I've got 6 pair of pants. I got batteries. I got like, how much? What did I spend here?
Yeah.
I don't even need all this. But the deal was too good.
But Shay went to Costco and he found a friend. Go ahead, Shay. What happened yesterday?
I lost my faith in humanity because I saw a woman go to the sample cart where they were giving out animal crackers for some reason. And she asked this poor sample lady, are animal crackers safe for humans? How do you not ever have an exposure to animal crackers in your life? She was in probably her 60s, 70s. Her whole life, no exposure to animal crackers.
Now, if you ask that question, Cap, we'd have to put you away, you know. You can't come back to work.
That is an amazing... Well, I saw Shay's tweet. Look, we had just left him.
Yeah.
We walked to the garage. Mm-hmm. He gets better parking than us. He goes right in on the first floor. You and I go up several floors.
Mm-hmm.
See you guys tomorrow. I'll text you later. And Shay, what was that? 20 minutes later?
Yeah, probably about 20 minutes after.
I'm looking at my phone waiting to work out. I'm like, what the? Lady asked if the animal crackers are edible for humans. What? I tweeted right back at you. That's the lead. And then, of course, the Bulls happened. I couldn't believe it.
Okay, so... Again, could you please describe the lady? You said maybe 60s or 70s. And what did she look like?
She was thin, kind of a out of place hair, graying, older. I mean,
what do you say out of place?
Like her hair was out of place. It was messy. It wasn't, she wasn't put together well.
Okay.
She looked like me. She wasn't well put together.
Your hair is in place, though. It's always great.
Well, it's all hidden under this hat.
Hair is always great, though. You never have a hair problem, that's for sure. But you say that she was frazzled and out of place. She's asking all these in-depth questions about animal crackers, something as benign as animal crackers. Cap, we've had animal crackers in my soup. You remember the old song?
Yes.
So, animal crackers. I would get those. They would be in a red... and black package, red on the top, right? Because it was really, it was a conduit or a connection to the circus there. Was it not?
It was a connection to the Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yeah.
And the box had the little, like the train car with the bars where the animals would be kept.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's asking,
are those edible for humans? Animal crackers. And that person... their vote will cancel you out, or they will be on the roads that your wife is driving on. You're like, get that person off the roads. They're that dumb.
Now, Shay, you like to stick your beak in there every now and then. Didn't you want to feel like you want to say something?
I just grabbed my little thing of animal crackers and walked and was on my way. Like, you don't want to jump in that situation because it's such a stupid thing to say. That you can't, like, be nice. And I just felt bad for the sample lady who, like, the sample lady can't go, you're an idiot. She's got to, like, kind of have the conversation and be nice about it. I felt horrible. I just had to get out of there.
Okay, so for those of you listening, I mean, you got to talk about this in the office. Do you think that lady was being serious, or did she really not know what animal crackers? Now, we talk about, like, you losing faith in humanity. Of course, outside of a dog, when you have something that's not a dog... that you're traveling with, say if you're a blind man, right, Cap, and you travel with a dog, that's one thing. Because a dog can help you.
Yes.
But when you
the dog's trained to help you.
But when you bring a pheasant or a dolphin or whatever these people were bringing on to planes because, well, that's my security. That's my...
Remember the lady we did the story of the... Okay, enough.
The dolphin bringing on the...
The lady did the little pony.
Yeah.
Remember she brought the pony on the plane like in New Orleans? Had that?
A Shetland pony, wasn't it?
Shane, what was it? You had a pony story. They brought a service pony.
I don't think I had a service pony story.
Yes.
I think you're confusing me with a different producer. I don't think I ever had that story.
Okay, that would be Danny then, our boss.
He's getting old, this guy.
Hold on. There was a plane where they brought a service pony on.
Yes.
I think there was. I don't think it was my news story. It's starting to jog the old memory up here. But it was not a pony, I don't think. It was a service alpaca or something.
But that's what I'm saying. When I start to see something other than a dog on a plane, that's when I have a problem. That's when I've lost all faith in humanity.
Yeah, here it is. Woman took her 115-pound miniature horse flying from Michigan to Ontario, California, with a stopover in Dallas. Fred, her miniature service horse, flew with her in first class.
Yeah, you know what that was? That was a genuine pony.
Genuine.
Yep.
Crazy.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Shane just shakes his head. But that's what can you give us an example, Cap, of something where you say, well, I've lost all faith in humanity? Something that you read, something that you saw, and you're like, I can't believe that. When I start seeing that you saw like Shetland ponies and cats and coming over as service animals, that was a problem. So lots going on around here.
Oh, man. There's a ton going on. I will tell you one. So I used to do this feature on TV called... Remember jaywalking on Jay Leno?
Oh, yeah.
So we used to do Cap's Corner, and I would go to different ballparks, and I would ask, who's that? And I would show a picture of somebody famous. They couldn't get it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, are people this dumb?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a guy, and I said, because we were doing something about the Sammy Sosa... Who is that? It was George Bush, Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God, that guy looks familiar. Is he in politics? I'm like, in what? Is he in politics?
Yeah.
I'm like, politics. That was the president.
Yeah. Politics.
Politics. Is he in politics? Yes.
Joey G., are you in politics?
No, I'm in a string of polyphonies.
That's another one from... Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Mere bag of shells.
String of
polyphony. Mere bag of shells.
String of
polyphony. Okay, real quick, me and my wife are at Jewel, and this, like, 80-year-old lady comes with her cart. You can tell she's a raggedy hand. She comes up and goes, the butter here is real good. And we're in the bread section.
Uh-huh.
So... My wife starts talking to her. I don't talk to anybody. So my wife starts talking to her, and I'm like, Carol, please, shut up. So then we meet her again in another aisle. My wife goes and talks to her again. The top of my voice, I said, are you nuts? Leave her alone. Don't talk. Do we know her? Do you know her? Stunk like no other business. I felt sorry for her in my brain, but I ain't talking to her.
Wow.
Just crazy.
Crazy. Ready?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm a diehard White Sox fan. And about 10 minutes ago, I heard you sigh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all it is. I don't know where we're going with this team.
It is not going in the right direction. It seems like last year. And I'm going to tell you something. 500 will not be good enough. 81 and 81 was lousy. You weren't going anywhere fast. This year has got to be better. It's early, but you just don't want to go through the same storyline of injuries and ineptitude for this baseball team. Jeff Joniak and Jim Miller will be together at 6 o'clock for Bears Weekly. That'll be at 6 o'clock right after Waddle and Sylvie right here on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. If you're having a business dinner, maybe celebrating a special occasion, try the Seafood Tower. They bring it at the start of the meal. It's incredible. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You're getting married at a destination and people have driven hours to get there. And the morning of, just before the ceremony is set to begin, one of your extended family members in attendance passes away. Obviously, everybody's very shaken up. They were all around for this. But you have a decision to make. Do you continue with the wedding ceremony?
There will be a part in the program. Of course, the program's ruined now because she's dead. But what would happen is that...
Excuse me, in your program, Grandma was supposed to speak here. She's very close to me. She just died. So can we have a moment of silence for Grandma?
It's like the Oscars. You drop a screen down and start playing the hits of her life.
In memoriam.
You get Grandma's highlight reel going on the screen.
In your program, there will not be the song Grandma was going to deliver.
That's not what...
John, the passage, John 3:16.
Yeah.
Yeah. Filling in for Grandma. She just passed. Rest in peace. Moment of silence. All right, that's enough. This will be my cousin Morty. We'll be reading the passage from the New Testament. They're passing Sharpies around. You'll want to X out the next presentation here at the wedding.
Cap's running into the kitchen to tell them they don't need to make one plate.
The cream plate for Grandma. Don't need it. She just died.
Save the salmon filet. We're good. She's passed away.
And that's all, folks.
That is the Cap and Jacob of the Day, proudly brought to you by
Chicago Cuts Steakhouse, David Flom and Matt Moore's Dining Sensation, LaSalle and the River.
You see the statement put out there by general manager of the Blackhawks, Kyle Davidson?
I did. I didn't read the statement. I know the crux of the statement.
Yeah, I've had a number of conversations with Jonathan Toews throughout the season about his future with the Blackhawks, and recently we had the difficult conversation that he won't be re-signing with the ball club or the hockey club this offseason. Tonight will be his final game as a Blackhawk. It was very important for us to be able to provide the proper send-off for Jonathan and our fans. He's done so much for this organization, and no matter where he plays next, we're excited our fans get to the chance to show Jonathan exactly how much he means to them. The last game for Jonathan Toews, no longer Blackhawk.
How about that? I don't think he's going to play any longer. I don't. Maybe he goes somewhere, but I would be surprised because he was pretty open and honest about the physical maladies he's been dealing with, long COVID and other things. So I'll be surprised if he plays. I've heard he built a home in a beautiful area of the world. That's what I think he's going to do.
We were talking earlier about beer sales, how that works now, especially with the quicker games in Major League Baseball. Billy in Oswego is with us, as well as John in Lakeland, Florida, on the ESPN Chicago app. All right, Billy.
Hi, Mr. Hood. It's me from Tinley Park. Remember I met you at Tinley Park?
Yes, yes. And let's say hello to John, too. John from Lakeland. How are you, Bill?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good. So, Billy, let's start with you. You're a vendor in Milwaukee, I remember.
Yes. I'm not a beer vendor. I sell peanuts, but I can speak for the fact that the games are a lot faster. People are more engaged. People don't want to leave their seats. I mean, I usually used to work in Bears and Hawks games. It was pretty high pace, you know. And now, to me, the games, I mean, it's not as fast as a Bears game, but it's just like I'm just bam, 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 bam.
John, what are you experiencing in Tampa as a vendor?
Well, I'm at the Trop, and we don't draw many people anyway. So, but anyway, I do beer. Beer is to the bottom of the eighth inning. There's cut off. I'm finding out people are now buying two at a crack.
That's the max you can buy, correct?
Exactly. That's the max you can buy is two at a crack. So I'm finding these people are buying two, and you don't see them as often as you did. But, I don't know. It's a little bit off, but I think people aren't used to the bottom of the eighth yet. I think they think they're cut off at the seventh, and a lot of these people realize it's too late. I mean, they're not going to go get another beer thinking they can't, and they really can. So,
what about that, Billy? What about your experience, Billy? I mean, it's, you still want a snack in the late innings.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if it's a close game, people are really into it. Yeah, I might sell a couple peanuts at the top of the eighth or something, but usually I save after about the seventh inning, things start slowing down for me a little bit. Usually I say before the game until about the sixth inning or seventh inning, things are pretty crazy for me.
All right, my friends. We appreciate your phone call. Billy and John from two different places giving you perspective.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to this question, but both teams in town, baseball, mm-hmm. Cubs and White Sox, signed deals with a particular beer brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a significant, it's like a 10-year deal I know the Cubs got mm-hmm. for huge money. Now, does that money get affected by the lessening of the beer sale? I can't answer that question. I don't know, but I'm going to do homework on it.
What are you having for lunch today? Because today is National Make Lunch Count Day. Make Lunch Count Day.
So I have my little cereal here. I usually eat during the show. I'm going to eat it here in a little bit. And I think for lunch, I might go scrambled eggs today. Cook them at home.
I think it's peanut butter and jelly. I think I'm going to go
with
that.
You're a big PBJ guy.
I am. I think I'm going to have that today.
Enjoy.
It might be lunch and brunch.
Enjoy.
It might not be dinner today. That's,
wow.
Because that thing sticks with you for a while. We thank you for listening and calling and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. How about you and I do this tomorrow at 7?
Yes, sirree. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Take that.
So long, everybody, from Chicago.